Thank you, young people, so much for that beautiful song and arrangement of At the Cross. It is finished was what Jesus cried as he neared the end of his life while he was hanging on the cross. It was not an admission of defeat. Instead, it was a proclamation of victory. Do you know that, friends? When Jesus Christ was hanging on Calvary, he was doing exactly what God the Father sent him to do. And from the cross, when he said it's finished, he was not saying that I'm defeated, the battle is over, and Satan has won. No, in fact, Jesus was saying it's over, I've won the victory, I've accomplished all that the Father sent me to do, redemption is now available to man, and I invite all of you to come by way of the cross. And I'm so thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ and for that day when he declared victory from the cross. We'll be looking today at the gospel according to Luke chapter 17. So please find your place there in your Bibles, Luke chapter number 17. Different experiences in life, and for many, especially this year, leave us feeling out of sorts, including when we approach the holidays. News headlines recently have had captions such as Thanksgiving canceled. How many of you have seen or heard that phraseology so far? Thanksgiving canceled. Some of our politicians are calling on all of us everywhere to cancel Thanksgiving. You know, that's probably bad news for most everyone, except maybe the turkeys. I suppose that they might be okay with that. Some of you may be going on with Thanksgiving plans as usual, doing your normal traditions with the normal people. Many others may be rethinking how they celebrate not only Thanksgiving, but the holidays this year. In these times that are unprecedented for many of us, friends, I want to remind you today that we still have sufficient reason, specified responsibility, and supplied resources to practice thankfulness. We still have everything that we need to be thankful. Martin Rinkert was a German Lutheran pastor who lived and ministered in Eastern Germany during the early to mid-17th century. He wrote numerous hymns, the most well-known of which is Now Thank We All Our God. Perhaps you know the song, have sung the song before, or at least know the title of the song, Now Thank We All Our God. It may be one that you know about, but perhaps the story behind it is one that you do not know. Pastor Rinkert knew what it was to live and serve God during a trying season. Early in his ministry was when the 30 Years' War broke out that involved many European nations. And it was during that time, especially in the mid-1630s, that war and difficulty broke out in the area in which he served. In fact, during that time of the mid-1630s, culminating in 1636 and 37, the city in which he lived and ministered became home to many refugees fleeing the war. Yet that area saw battle. Because of the many refugees coming in, disease began to spread among the people of that area, and it was also destroyed by famine. All of these things, the famine, the war, the disease took their toll. During 1637, many of the other clergy in that area died. And so Pastor Rinkert was the only clergyman left in that area. During that year alone, 1637, Pastor Rinkert oversaw and officiated 4,480 funerals. There were some days that he buried as many as 40 to 50 people a day. When the death toll became so great they could no longer keep up, they began burying the dead just in trenches behind the church where he ministered. During all of that time, Pastor Rinkert's own wife became one of the victims of the epidemic and passed away. But it was during those horrific experiences that he wrote the lyrics, "Now Thank We All Our God." He actually wrote the lyrics as a prayer that was left on a parchment at their family dining table. And every time they came together for a meal, they recited the lyrics, "Now Thank We All Our God," as a prayer to the Lord. It was a reminder every day that they had so much to be thankful for. Even in the worst experiences of life, the lyrics say this: "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed and guard us through all ills in this world till the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be forevermore." What a testimony of giving thanks to and trusting in God, even while enduring the most horrific experiences of life. We have thought about and we have conversed about how much many of us are enduring a season that we have not experienced in our life. And there are times during this season that we have felt perplexed. We've been confused. We've struggled to understand. We have faced individual difficulties and trials in the midst of this season that have only added to our burden and have caused us to really struggle at times. We've been anxious, we've been worried, we've been concerned. We have experienced hardship, we have experienced misunderstanding, we have experienced a lack at times in our lives, or at least that's the way we have felt. Yet, friends, I want to remind you today that even in the middle of the most horrific of life experiences, we still have so much to be thankful for. I wonder today, while praying to God, are we also praising God? While expecting God to work, are we also exalting God for the work he has already done and the work that we expect him yet to do? Thanksgiving the event may be canceled. You might be changing your plans. You might be doing something a little different this year. But thanksgiving the experience may and must be cultivated in our lives. Would you look with me at Luke 17, and we'll be reading this morning verses 11 through 19. Through this account from the ministry of Jesus, let God teach each of us that we have so much to be thankful for and that we should actually be thankful. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11, notice what the Bible says as we read. "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him ten men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Before we continue with the message, would you bow and ask God with me for his power today? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious word. And as we come to this time in our service to read your word, to study your word, I ask you that you would bless with your power and your direction. Help me to preach the word of God powerfully, persuasively, and practically. And I ask that the Holy Spirit of God would have his will, his way, doing your work through your word in all of our hearts and lives. Whether it is someone here today in this auditorium or someone who is listening to the message on the internet who needs a touch of God, who needs a reminder of just how much we have to be thankful for, who needs a reminder of what Jesus has done, is doing, and will do in our lives if we will but let him. Lord, help us to recognize that we have so much to thank you for. And may we truly this season, this day, cultivate a life of thanksgiving. And we will be sure to give you the praise and honor for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The text before us records one of the greatest miracles of Jesus during his earthly ministry. 10 men with leprosy. And remember that that means that they were cut off from their families, from society, from their former lives. They were alone, apart from who they had in each other. In fact, we know that this was an unusual group to be together because 9 were Jews, 1 was a Samaritan. That was a very unusual group to be together. And yet they had heard stories of this miracle worker among the people of God. And on this day, as Jesus was passing through their home area with his disciples on his way to Jerusalem to give his life a ransom for many, they heard that Jesus was passing through. And standing at a distance, they cried out to him for mercy. They had heard the stories of Jesus. They believed that he had the power and authority to make them whole again. They asked for mercy, knowing that it would be by his will and not their worthiness that the work would be done. Friends, as a side note, can I remind you today that that is always the case when Jesus works in our lives? It is never because of our worthiness. It is always because of his will, by his mercy, that he does a work in our lives. So in actuality, to some extent, it is wrong for us to expect anything from God because God owes us nothing. We deserve nothing from God but judgment, but his justice because of our sin. To expect anything from him as if he owes us something is wrong. They knew it was not because of their worthiness, but only because of his will, by his mercy, that he would do a work in their lives. Upon hearing and seeing them, Jesus told them to go to the priests. He had not healed them either by word or by touch. yet he told them to do what they should do according to the law had they been healed. Anyone with any type of a skin condition, disease, be it leprosy or any other like that, in that time, in their culture, in their nation, the priest was the set-aside professional who would determine if an individual had been cleansed of that condition. And so Jesus told them to do what they would do according to the law had they been cleansed, yet he had not touched them. He had not spoken a word of healing. And yet, in obedience to his command, as a demonstration of faith in Jesus to heal them, the lepers turned to find the priest, and as they went, they were healed. Now, can you imagine? Put yourself in the place of those lepers. If that were you, you heard the story of Jesus and you knew it, you believed in your heart that Jesus had the power to heal you. You asked him for mercy, and in response, Jesus tells you to go to the priest as if you had been healed, though he had not healed you yet. You turn and begin to make your way to the priest, and as you're going, you find that you have been completely healed. You are made whole. The oozing sores and the scabs over your body have disappeared. Your skin is whole again. It is cured of the disease. Now, what do you do? What do you do from there? What's your next move? In what may seem a stunning conclusion to the account, nine went on, and one returned to Jesus to thank him for the work he had done. Jesus' response was twofold, and it was very instructive. First, he asks a question. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? What did Jesus determine about the behavior of the 9 to continue on and not return with the 1? Please don't miss this, friends. Jesus clearly saw their absence as a lack of gratitude. They prayed to Jesus to do something. They expected him to do something. And when he did, they continued on their way. Now, certainly they rejoiced in their healing, yet they lacked gratitude for the one and to the one who provided it. They prayed and expected and failed to praise and exalt. Can I ask today, is that true in our lives? Is it true of us that there are times in our lives where we pray to God to do something, we expect God to do something, and we fail to praise him and exalt him for what he has done, what he is doing, what he will do? Friends, I'm concerned that there are times in my life when I pray to God. I know there are times in my life where I expect God to do a work, and while praying to God and expecting God to do something, I fail to give him praise and to exalt his name for what he's already done, for what he's currently doing, for what he will do. You say, Pastor, why is ungratefulness, why is unthankfulness, why is failing to praise and exalt God for what he's done, is doing, and will do a big deal? Can I remind you, friends, from the Word of God, that an unthankful heart is fertile soil for all kinds of sin? You say, really, Pastor? In Romans chapter 1, as God was speaking about the depravity of man, he says this in verse number 20, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And because of that, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. I wonder this morning if there are those among us whom God has done a work in. God is doing a work in. God will do a work in. And there are times when we are ungrateful. Jesus said a second statement in his response that's very instructive. As he now responds to the one who had come back, he says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Don't miss this, friends. All 10 experienced physical healing, but only one experienced spiritual healing. They all trusted Jesus to heal them. This one, demonstrated by his behavior, trusted Jesus to save him. 9 were declared clean by a priest. 1 was declared saved by Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this morning, have you experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ? You may not have a physical disease, but every person struggles and suffers from the spiritual sickness of sin. Every person in every place has demonstrated unthankfulness, anger, lust, unkindness, disobedience, and the like. These acts and others like them are contrary to the word and will of God and make us sinners. Like leprosy in Bible times, the only outcome of sin is death apart from Jesus. But Jesus, the very Son of God, came to earth because God loves us. He gave his life on a cross to pay the debt that we owe to God because of our sin. He was buried and 3 days later rose triumphant from the grave. And if you have never experienced the saving power of Jesus, can if you will simply believe on him. Others of us have experienced the saving power of Jesus. Can I ask you today, is Thanksgiving an event that can be canceled, or is it an experience that you are cultivating in your life? Through every season of life, every day of the year, friends, you and I have the responsibility. We have resources, and we have reason to live lives of thanksgiving because of Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus as your Savior, even in these unprecedented and unnerving times, we should be the one. However, I know that I'm guilty at times of continuing on with the 9, praying and expecting, but failing to praise and exalt. Have you realized in your interaction with others, people don't have to be taught to demand and ask for things, but they have to be taught to give thanks. You know, as a father to 3 wonderful children, I have not had to teach my children to ask me for things. Have any of you who have parents experienced the same thing? Maybe it's just me. You know what's true too? It's not just asking. Asking is okay. But I didn't have to teach my kids to demand things either. I want this. Give me this. Dad, you didn't give me this. I haven't had to teach anybody to ask for or to demand things, but I have had to teach them to give thanks. Do you know that there are times as children of God that we act just like our children, or those of you who are young people? There are times as children of God that we ask God for things and we demand things of him, but we fail to give him thanks. We fail to praise and exalt his name. As you look at Luke 17, 11 through 19, Jesus knew how many he had healed. He knew how many he had changed. He knew how many he had restored. Praise God for the one, but Jesus wondered aloud, where are the 9? 10 were healed, 10 experienced his power, 10 were restored. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? These questions still echo through the centuries as Jesus still saves souls. He still heals, and he still restores the broken. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? These questions still challenge the hearts today of those of us who have been redeemed and reconciled by the blood of Jesus. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And I am concerned that many of us who have experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ go on with the 9 rather than returning with the 1. We've experienced the touch of Christ to save our souls, and we go on rather than habitually returning to give glory to God. And today, I want to challenge each of us. No, God wants to challenge each of us to be the 1. How can we be like the 1? Let me give you 4 actions that come straight from the text about how we can be like the 1. Number 1, go back to the place of his goodness. What did the 1 do when he realized he was cleansed? The Bible is silent on what exactly happened when the 10 were healed. We're unaware if they had a conversation among them. We're unaware if they did anything, said anything to one another at that moment. I suspect in my mind if now that they were healed, that old conflict between Jew and Samaritan came back to the surface. 9 of them were Jews. 1 was a Samaritan. I suspect if when they realized that they were healed and they were on the way to the Jewish priest to be declared cleansed, if the 9 may not have even made a comment to the 1 who was a Samaritan that because he was a Samaritan, he could not go on to the Jewish priest, that the priest would not minister unto him, the priest would not declare him cleansed along with the other 9. Regardless, though, of what transpired among them, I know this. 9 went on. 9 who were Jews. 9 who were chosen as the people of God. 9 unto whom all the promises of God had appertained to them went on to the priest. And 1 who was a Samaritan. 1 who was a stranger. 1 who was foreign to all of that returned to give thanks to the 1 who had healed them. He went back to the place where he had experienced the good work of God in his life to say thank you. Friends, there is something special about going back in our minds to the goodness we've experienced. There is something precious about thinking back to the times in your life and mine when God has poured out his goodness and his grace. We understand and we recognize that God is good to us all the time, and all the time God is good. But there is something that is just special about thinking back to those specific experiences of the goodness of God where you can look in your life and you know this was nothing but the goodness of God. Nothing but the goodness of God did that work. Nothing but the goodness of God accomplished that in my life. And what more precious experience of the goodness of God do we have to revisit than to go back and revisit Mount Calvary and remember that we've experienced the most precious gift, the salvation purchased for us there by Jesus Christ. Friends, this morning, I can live Thanksgiving as a life experience and not just an event that can be canceled, because no one and nothing can take from me what Jesus did for me when he died on the cross at Calvary. Nothing and no one can take from me the salvation that I received when he did that work in me by his grace through faith because of what Jesus has done and not of any works of my own. Let me tell you today, if you can find nothing else to be thankful for this season, 2020, you can be thankful for what Jesus did on the cross. I can look back many times to when I've felt and received the goodness of God, but I'm not ashamed today to say the greatest experience of the goodness of God that I've ever received, I received on January 19th, 1996, on a Sunday evening service at my home church when the Word of God was proclaimed, and I realized on that night in that service that I did not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And in response to the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit did His work of conviction in me, I called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing that He died for my sin, was buried, and rose again. And I received the glorious gift of salvation that very night. And since that time, nothing has taken it from me. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will. Take from me the gift of my salvation. Friends, have you had that experience? Can you look back to the time in your life when you visited Mount Calvary for the first time? And there at the foot of the cross, you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. If you have had that experience, friend, then you have sufficient reason. You have specified responsibility, and you have the supplied resources already within you to live a life of thanksgiving. Maybe you're here today or you're listening and you've not had that experience. Today you can. And whenever life has you down, in fact, every single day of your life, go back to the place of His goodness. Number two this morning, not only go back to the place of His goodness, but number two, glorify Him with your voice for His goodness. What does the Bible say there in the end of verse number 15? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. He went back to the place of God's goodness. But then it says, and with a loud voice, glorified God. Before he got to Jesus Christ, the Bible doesn't tell us how far they had journeyed. I don't know how far he was from Jesus, whether they had walked a number of feet, hundreds of yards, miles, I don't know. But he, in that moment when he realized he was healed, turned back to return to the place of God's goodness. And all the way, he was shouting at the top of his voice, glory to God. Now, there's no need to have a competition this morning. I already know that very few in this room can be as loud as I can. I just already know that. But regardless of how loud or how quiet you might typically be, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're one who has experienced the good hand of God in your life, the grace of God in your life, then there certainly should be times in your life when you lift up your voice to give glory to God. You might say today, Pastor, I'm kind of a shy person. That's fine. It doesn't have to be in front of me. In fact, if you do it because of me so that I'll see you, you're doing it for the wrong reason anyway. But there ought to be times in my life as a child of God who's experienced the goodness of God that I lift up my voice to give glory to God. The Bible says that God is satisfied. He is well pleased with the sacrifices of praise. That is our lips, our mouths lifting up praise to His name. The Bible declares in Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've experienced salvation through Jesus Christ, if you're a child of God, you should have no problem, as I should not, to lift up your voice in glory to God for what God has done in your life. Glorify God with your voice for His goodness. Thirdly, get low in your spirit because of His goodness. Where does gratitude come from? Where does thankfulness come from? If you think about it, you'll recognize that gratitude is an attitude of reverence and humility. That a true heart of thankfulness comes from humility. A recognition of, I was not and am not worthy. That individual who did that act of goodness for me or to me did so not because they owed me, not because I deserved it. They did that act of goodness to me or for me, not because they owed me something, not because I was entitled to it. But they performed that act of goodness out of their own heart of love, mercy, and grace. Friends, can I remind you today, there's nothing in me that makes me worthy of His love, grace, mercy, or goodness. As a lost sinner, I was no more able to do for or save myself than these 10 lepers could do for themselves. But in His goodness, the Savior did for me what I could not do. How outrageous it would be for me to now think and act as though I were somehow worthy, that I had some hand in what His goodness has done for me. How outrageous it would be for me to live as a child of God 24 years later, nearly 25, and think that I had somehow had a hand in what God did, that somehow God saw something in me desirable, and that was why He specifically reached out and chose me for salvation, or whatever it may be, that I might think that I had something in me, something of value, something worthy, something appealing that made God do what He did in His goodness to me and for me. And friends, the same would be true of you. It would be outrageous to think that. But then I look at 9 who didn't come back. Why didn't they? Pride. The absence of humility. The fact that these 9 were Jews who did not return, while the one who did was a Samaritan, bears this out. As a whole, the Jewish nation and people rejected Him. This is simply a demonstration during the work and life of Jesus Christ, where they expected Him to do something. They wanted Him to do a work, to show a sign, even for their benefit, but they were unwilling to recognize Him as their promised Messiah. In not returning to the Lord Jesus Christ to give Him thanks with the one, they demonstrated a heart of pride that, though they may not have verbalized it, their actions spoke louder than their words. That they were somehow deserving, that Jesus somehow owed them, that Jesus somehow was required or was in debt to them to do this work because of who they were. And what we need to understand in our own lives is that our practice of unthankfulness demonstrates the same kind of heart of pride and a lack of humility. Go back to the place of His goodness. Glorify Him with your voice for His goodness. Get low in your spirit because of His goodness. Number 4, and finally, give thanks to the one that's blessed you with His goodness. Can I ask you simply, the Bible tells us in verse number 16, He fell down on His face at His feet. That is, the Samaritan prostrated himself before Jesus Christ, verse 16, giving Him thanks. Can I ask you today, do you make a practice of specifically regularly and sincerely thanking the Lord for his goodness? In other words, is it a lifestyle, not just an event? Are you cultivating thanksgiving in your life? The holiday is an event, and it can be canceled. Thanksgiving, the practice, is an experience that can and should be cultivated. You know, I think of one of the traditions that perhaps you have had over the years, as my family has had over the years, where on Thanksgiving Day, as you prepare to eat a meal, a lot of meal, you might go around and each mention something that you're thankful for. As if on this particular day, during this event, this holiday, is the time that is set aside for us to go ahead and express that we are thankful. But friends, can I encourage you today that for the believer in Jesus Christ, it shouldn't just be that event, but it ought to be an ongoing daily experience of our lives. Psalm 116, verses 12 through 19. The Bible declares these words: "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" What should I do for the Lord because of all of his benefits toward me? You say, I don't know if I've received any benefits from God. Friends, can I remind you, the Bible declares that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Anything good that you experience in life is a gift from the good hand of God. There is nothing good that you experience that you've just made happen on your own, that somebody else has made happen. Even if God uses a vessel to do something good in your life, that gift has ultimately come from none other than the Heavenly Father above. And so the psalmist asks the question, what should I do unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Do not have time this morning to exposit Psalm 116, 12 through 19. But it's pretty clear, is it not, in that passage of Scripture, what the psalmist said we can and should do in recognition of all of the goodness that we've received from God. I would encourage you this week, read through this passage of Scripture each day. Meditate upon it. Ask yourself the question, am I recognizing the goodness of God in my life? And if I am, how am I responding? Do I view Thanksgiving just as an event? Or is Thanksgiving an experience to be cultivated in my life? I'm speaking this morning to many who are believers in Jesus Christ. The reality is, it is a weakness of our human nature to live like the nine, praying and expecting things of God without praising and exalting. Through your life, through your bad experiences, through your difficult season and year, have you lived like the nine or like the one? If you would be the one, cultivate the experience, the practice of thanksgiving in your life. And then again, you may be here today listening through this whole message and come to the realization that you have nothing to draw on. You realize that you're empty, lacking any reason to be thankful because you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If that is you, he invites you today. He came for you. He died for you. He rose for you. He will make you whole. He will accept and receive you. He will respond to you. Simply respond to him, believing that he is the one and only Savior. Believe that he died and rose again for you. If you will respond to him, he will save you and make you his child. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning, no one looking around? Thanksgiving, an event, might be canceled, but Thanksgiving, an experience, should be cultivated in our lives. Through even the most tragic and horrific of life experiences, there is still sufficient reason, specified responsibility, and sufficient resources to experience and practice Thanksgiving. Perhaps you're here today as a child of God, and God has spoken to your heart about the need to be more like the one and less like the nine. If that's you this morning, God wants you to respond to him. Confess a heart of ungratitude and unthankfulness. Thank him for the goodness you've received and commit to continue to cultivate that heart of thanksgiving. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If that's true, in just a moment when the invitation is given, I invite you to come to make that known so that we can share the goodness of God in offering you salvation through his Son so you can make that decision today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? The pianist is playing. If God is working in your heart right now, I ask you and I invite you to come. Make an altar at this altar. Make your seat an altar. If God is speaking to your heart, you respond in obedience to him right now. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. You have been so good in so many ways to us, and we are thankful today. Help us as we depart from this house of worship today to give you worship and praise constantly in our lives, in recognition of just how good you have been. Thank you so much for Jesus. Help us not to lose sight of what his finished work has accomplished and is continuing to accomplish in our lives. And we will be sure to give you the praise and honor for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.